Yes Indeed Pod, a podcast about indie tabletop role-playing games where I interview creators about their games and inspirations and about the theory, process and practice of game design. My name is Mark Shepherd, your host today and always, and your friendly local indie enthusiast. Today we're talking to Jim Hall of Brooklet Games about Worldlings, a bestiary style zine chock full of tiny little gods. Inspired by Mushishi and other similar media, it's an opportunity to flex your social interaction skills to problem solve without resorting to violence, which I'm sure you'll know is right up my street. Now that's out of my head and into yours, let's talk indie. Okay, so today we're talking to Jim Hall of Brooklet Games. Hi there, Jim, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely no problem. It's what ZineQuest is all about, I guess. We talk to a lot of people about a lot of projects. So
yeah, there's a lot of great stuff out there.
There really is, actually. I've not dug too deep into it because I've been away, but yeah, it looks like it's quite an intense month. So I'm glad it's paid off moving to August, I suppose. Anyway, Jim, would you like to tell us who you are and what you do in indie tabletop role-playing games?
I write and illustrate and produce mostly zines, and pretty much zines. Primarily what I've been doing is putting out zines every month over on my Patreon, and I kind of started publishing printed zines in February with Zine Month, and I'm doing it every month.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get to make cool stuff and work with some really talented people, and all centered around just playing games. And so
that's great fun.
My test players are just the normal group of people that I play with anyway. So.
Well, that's really good. What kind of stuff have you been putting out? Or is it super varied?
There's definitely some variation there. Let's see. I have like a little pirate adventure called Vortex Isles. It's like a point crawl with a couple little dungeons. Arbon and the Rot Dragon, that's one of my favorites. It's just a really straightforward crawl through this giant tree that's afflicted by this rot dragon.
Sure, yeah.
I know, I got Escape the City. That's like a GM-less game where you can generate a city that you're trying to flee as it's overrun by cultists.
That sounds really familiar. I think I've seen that somewhere.
Probably blasted Twitter with it, and you might have seen it there. Yeah, I mean, you can find my stuff in a lot of different places, but my Patreon crew, they always get it first. And
nice.
So when I heard about ZineQuest, you know, coming up in August, I figured I would try to put something out there. Well, the last adventure I wrote, I worked with an artist called Okro.
Yeah.
She's a fantastic illustrator, very playful, kind of whimsical style that I really love. It lends itself to telling a different type of story than your classic Lord of the Rings style fantasy adventure.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I've been working with an old friend of mine, AJ Montague. We went to college together. She has been writing fiction just kind of for fun as long as I've known her. And we've played together. We played Pathfinder and D&D together. And so I, you know, invited her to kind of help me out because I was, you know, it's just a lot of work. And she's doing a great job. She really brings something new to the table. And I think you can tell in the work that we're putting out together.
That sounds fantastic. As I said before, it's a lot of work to do one of those zines every month. And I'm really pleased that you're still doing it. Sounds wonderful. Speaking of zines, we're in August, which is completely unclassically ZineQuest month. I believe you're putting out a zine this month. So do you want to tell us about Worldlings?
Yeah, so the zine that we're putting out is called Worldlings, Tales of Tiny Gods.
Yeah.
And kind of surface level, this is a little bestiary of, well, depending on how many stretch goals we get, 10, 12, 14, somewhere around there, of these tiny little animistic gods that will kind of permeate the natural world. And each of these gods will have special abilities, daily rituals, you know, hiding places, that sort of thing. And of course, all accompanied with that beautiful sort of engaging artwork that Okro is putting out. So it's this bestiary, but I don't really expect people to fight these worldlings. They're not really fighters, and they're pretty weak on their own, though they have the capability of performing great magics when they combine their efforts together. The way that I see people engaging with it is not necessarily, oh, you encounter a worldling in the wild, because, you know, that's interesting, and there is that potential, but also in this project, we're creating a mystery generator.
Mm.
I'm really into the sort of kind of random roll tables that you can use to improvise some interesting experiences. Yeah. And so with this zine, I really wanted to create some sort of paths that players can follow.
Mm.
And as they kind of follow those paths, they will wind up encountering these worldlings and have to...
Yeah.
Kind of reckon with them.
It sounds really interesting. I mean, are they all sort of a similar kind of flavor, or do they vary a lot?
Yeah, there's a lot of variety. Let's see. For example, we have seedlets. They look like tiny seeds with arms and legs. Some have tails that are dexterous. They're kind of responsible for waking dormant seeds and singing lullabies to the seeds that are not ready to grow.
Yeah.
And then also helping plants kind of ease the transition into from seed to a young plant. You know, when I say animistic gods, the concept of animism is that everything in the world has some sort of spirit tied to it. And that's very much, you know, what is the idea behind this.
Yeah. Animism is really interesting, and absolutely ages ago, I was really interested in Shinto, the kind of animistic traditional religion / traditions of Japan. Whether the way that it was described in the text that I was reading was as like everything having a spirit and everything having a god associated with it. And I just think that's a fascinating, fruitful void, you know, to to explore with TTRPG writing and TTRPG playing as well. So I'm really glad someone's picked that up.
A lot of times there is, well, a tendency towards the big, epic, you know, world-changing giant monsters. I know, I've written those adventures too. But, you know, some of the best adventures are just these little small things, the little small interactions, more like a social interaction, a social style of play. But you did mention sort of like the Japanese underpinning. What did you call it? Shinto? I have to read about that term specifically, because I have a feeling that unknowingly I'm pulling inspiration from it, because a lot of the sort of media references kind of come from anime and that sort of thing. So,
you know, when you look at a Studio Ghibli film, I think you can kind of see where some of these things are coming from and where those traditions might lead to media inspirations, and how that culture might develop some of the ideas that come out in, I don't know, Spirited Away, for example, is a truly excellent example of a bestiary film. The other side of what you're saying here is when you look at classic D&D adventures, when you meet gods, they're like, you know, awe-inspiring. They're supposed to be incredible if you do. But the kind of supernatural beings you do meet very regularly, like demons and devils, and, you know, you can have a social interaction with those, and you can have a social adventure based around those creatures. And that feels like you're doing a sort of similar thing to perhaps what, you know, the Book of the Damned or whatever it was called in second edition was about, but kind of a bit more cozy. I don't know how you feel about that.
You are going to be interacting with these tiny gods as part of these adventures. I want to bring up a big influence for this project is the anime Mushishi, which originally I think was a manga. And the kind of format of that show is you get these sort of, it feels like a fable, where the interactions between a person and the natural world, or a person and themselves, winds up attracting or creating complications with these creatures, the Mushishi, which they seem to me like animistic gods. And that format of each episode telling a kind of small story around the interactions with these spirits is kind of what I'm trying to go for here. So when I talk about a mystery generator, we're talking about things like all these adventures kind of take place at the edge of civilization, and they're related to the push between civilization and the natural world.
Yeah.
One of the prompts here is ancient and holy trees have been dying. People are upset about that. And then as the players kind of realize that as they're investigating this, that people have been recklessly passing through the forest where these trees have been living, for millennia, and kind of damaging the area around. And because of that, the treelings, the spirits, are unable to maintain the trees.
Yeah.
That step, that process of discovering all that information is the sort of thing that will come up during sort of role play and the normal sort of flow of a role playing game.
Yeah.
But then what the players do with that information and how they try to resolve the situation, I mean, that's where the creativity on the player's part comes in. So
that's really, really fascinating. It sounds just like the sort of thing that I would like to pick up, a kind of quiet little zine full of really interesting ways that you can interact with the world.
Yeah.
It reminds me really strongly of Monster Care Squad. It's a game by Sandy Pug Games, and we interviewed it last year. It's similar to what you're sort of talking about there. You know, you go to a locale, you find out that there's a problem, and then you find these hulking great monsters, and you look after them, and then they make the area better. And it's just that sort of that Mushishi style adventure, I think. It's just like a nice vibe, you know, rather than going somewhere and smashing stuff up and stealing things, going somewhere and making it better by interacting positively with the world.
It's a completely different vibe. It's not to say that there can't be combat or anything like that, but
combat's not the focus. Yeah.
I've had it sort of compared to or referenced with Wanderhome, because
You
know, Wanderhome is a game that's really built around social interactions.
Yeah.
Solving things through problem solving and social interactions instead of hitting something with a giant stick.
I do favor the nonviolent approach, and I think it makes games quite approachable for people who perhaps are not so deeply ensconced in the tradition of going around beating things up and stealing things, you know. So yeah, I thoroughly enjoy where that is going. So yeah, that's really cool. Well, thank you for telling me all about that. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your Kickstarter campaign then?
The campaign funded in 15 hours, which I'm pretty darn happy
very
with.
Oh, speedy. Yeah,
nice. You know, I didn't know what to expect. I ran one Kickstarter before and we didn't get funded. And so I was a little apprehensive about diving into this. People were interested in it, and I think that I just kind of know what I'm doing a little bit more than the last time when I tried to run one of these. I think it's because it kind of appeals to a different style of play that people search for. We have hit a few of our stretch goals. Actually, just last night, we hit two stretch goals. In the last 24 hours, we hit two additional stretch goals.
Yeah.
So one of those is a large printed map of the Wilderwoods. The first stretch goal that we hit was related to creating a map of a little region where these sorts of things, these sorts of stories could come about.
Yeah.
But we just unlocked the separate printed fold-out map that you can show to the players.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah.
And then also some variants that just kind of came out as well in the last few hours. And then we also have a story prompt pamphlet that AJ is putting together, and it's a separate pamphlet that is curated stories that you can present to the players, as opposed to using the generator. So depends on how you like to play.
I think that's really fun. Yeah.
I also like having a separate, you know, like a pack of things that you get, you know, so we get the zine, you'll get the map, you'll get the pamphlet.
Oh, I tell you what, I'm an absolute sucker for that. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
It's really nice to unpack a big box of stuff that comes through the post. You know?
I get so geeked out. I get so excited. The Fallen RPG campaign came in. I did a pamphlet for that one.
Yeah.
That was a nice big pile of like zines and pamphlets and other stuff.
I just got Mouse Ritter through the post, and it's just this absolutely beautiful box set, and it was just so nice to sort of sit there for 20 minutes and take all of these things out and just go, ooh, that's really nice. That's really nicely laid out.
Mouse Ritter is based off of Into the Odd,
It is,
and so,
yeah.
And so it should be actually compatible with Worldlings because I'm making compatibility with Mark of the Yard games.
Oh, now I'm having lots of fun. What compatibilities are you putting in for Worldlings then?
The systems that I usually write for are Cairn, which is based off of Into the Yard, and then 5e, the most popular game right now. So.
Sure. But it makes it easy to convert it elsewhere as well because there's lots of other converters.
Yeah, fact of the matter is a lot of people play 5e. I play both of the systems, Cairn and 5e, and so that's why I write for them. With Mark of the Odd, it's just a little different than Cairn. There's just some slightly different stats, and so I'm going to create a little conversion guide to include in there.
My brain is just like popping now, thinking about how mice could go and meet these gods. I mean, that could be really fun.
Especially because these gods are supposed to be, you know, pretty tiny. So they would be, you know, like the same size as a mouse.
That's so fun. Oh, wow. I really strongly encourage people to go and do that because that sounds really nice. Have you still got some more stretch goals to?
We do. The last two that we have planned here are creating additional worldlings, 4 extra worldlings.
Yeah.
And so that would be commissioning additional artwork from Okro, and then, you know, we would give them the same treatment as all the rest of the worldlings.
Yeah.
And then creating some paper minis.
Oh, that's really nice.
I don't know how people will use them necessarily, but they're just kind of fun to have.
I think people really like paper minis.
I do.
I mean, it sounds mean, but I really like how like trashy they are. And like people like stuff from Hero Forge and they're like all bells and whistles and, you know, super beautifully painted stuff. I like the Orion Games paper minis because I want to cut them out and fold them up and then like I just want them to get trashed. I really like that, you know, the kind of lo-fi version of gaming.
You know, I follow a lot of artists and stuff. A lot of artists in the role-playing game space will just...
Yeah.
There have even been a couple paper mini jams where... On Itch. You know, it's just a really great way of bringing something new to the table.
I think it's really great. I just think the paper minis are really fun and, like, I would like to see more in the world. Fantastic. So that's running until
the end of August. So
until the end of August.
I think I launched the campaign on like the 9th of August or something like that.
Yeah.
And so we've been in it for a little while, and this is my first zine quest, so this is my only experience with it. But apparently they used to limit...
Well, they used to say there was a limit.
Oh, okay.
The rules have been lessened over time.
Yeah, because there were rules like you can only use 2 colors and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, it was really bogus, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, if you go back through the history of zines, it's way more, you know, we're not talking about magazines. We're talking about Xerox copy, you know, hand-folded zines.
Yeah.
Whereas now, you know, just about anyone can print a full-color thing over at Mixum and...
Exactly. I've generally tried to avoid this, but like every February for the last 4 years or so, people have been asking the same question. Well, what is a zine? What defines a zine? It's like, well, it ain't these random rules that Kickstarter's put together. That's for sure. So, what can people get? What are the ways that people can support you?
We have a few different funding levels. So if you just want PDF, you can do that, or get the zine with all the stretch goals. And there's a couple higher levels. One where you get a patch that includes Okro's art.
Oh, nice.
And then there's like the honorary worldling level where you can get you get the patch, but then you also get your name in the credits of the book. And I'm debating of maybe, depending on how many people get to that level, of creating some NPCs around folks in that level with their permission, of course.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah.
And then I have some retail packs that are available. I do, you know, sell to retailers, so you can buy my stuff like on Exalted Funeral and Ratty and Cantati and, you know, the Cairn store. So you can find my stuff in a bunch of different places. But if you are a retailer and you want to, you know, stock Worldlings when it comes out, you can back me at that level. That's huge.
Mm.
If you're just interested in the project and you think it's cool, you know, give me a share on Twitter or what have you.
Absolutely. Well, I really do encourage everyone to go and check that out because, I think fans of Yes Indeed know that I'm a big fan of nonviolent problem solving. And this sounds really just up my street. So please go and make this happen. And like, let's get those paper minis, because like, I just want
that. Yeah.
I just want paper minis. Really. That's all I want. Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you for taking us through all of that, Jim. Would you like to tell us where we can find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Brooklet Games. I'm on Instagram at Brooklet Games, brooklygames.com. I got some stuff there. And then if you really want me to like sustainably keep putting out zines like this, go on and support me on Patreon. For $12 a month, you can get a printed zine in your mailbox. We ship worldwide, and it really keeps me going, and it actually funds print runs. So it's
super generous. Yeah. Yeah, go and check that out. That sounds really cool. Well, thank you very much. And I guess all that remains for me to say is thank you very much for coming on Yes Indeed Pod, and fantastically good luck with the Kickstarter campaign of Worldlings.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, and thanks again to Jim for the interview. As always, you can find all of the links in the episode description. Next time, we're finishing our ZineQuest 4 event with an interview with Spooky Bell Games about Beyond Deep, a horror adventure zine jam-packed full of detailed maps, gruesome monsters, compelling characters, explorable locations, and strange encounters, all designed for the tabletop role-playing game Merkborg. Join us next time to find out more. This week's episode has been kindly sponsored by Will Lentz of Gamonomicon. Goblin Market is a new semi-cooperative role-playing experience inspired by the poem of the same name by Christina Rossetti. In it, players will become a goblin, a peddler of temptation to unwary Victorian-era mortals. The goblins are in service to the Night Queen and must accomplish their task before the Tootlepip strikes 13. The game features an all-new resolution system called All 4-2, based on goblin counting skills ending at 2, which can be implemented with dice or cards. It also includes a scene builder system to help populate your Victorian city with quarry, troubles, and more. This means easy to use dynamic mechanics resulting in streamlined storyline choices, perfect to play in one evening while still delivering a satisfying role-playing experience. This week, I'd like to thank some of my incredible Patreon supporters: Hesan Yongdi, Sam Armstrong, Beyond Cataclysm Games, Georgie Batts, Sam Lay, Jack Blair, and Peter Ike. Thank you all so much. We couldn't do what we do without you. And you, yes, you can get a regular shout out and joyful thanks too if you go to patreon.com/yesindeedpod and sign up today. You'll get access to our Discord server where we can hang out and chat, and even join monthly editing streams at the Yes Indeed Pod Book Club. Most of the money will go directly to creators rather than to me, so you'll be investing directly in the indie scene, helping to make it an inclusive place for years to come. And if you can't commit regularly, you can always help out by rating and reviewing the show wherever you find your podcasts, or by donating through the Ko-Fi page at ko-fi.com/yesindeedpod. Of course, you can always reach out to me through Twitter at yesindeedpod, that's YESINDIEDPOD. I'd love dearly to hear from you. Lastly, music credits. All music is taken from Be Quiet by Yatza from the 3 Music Archive, released under Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3.0 International License. Thanks, Yatza! Until next time, remember, does indie need you? Yes, indeed.